Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. In fantasy football, sleepers can win you championships, and that's why I am here. Every episode is just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Justin D'Orazio here with Sports Radio 94 WIP. Today I'm joined by none other than All Elite Wrestling's Adam Cole. Adam, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you doing, baby?
Oh, absolutely. I'm doing pretty good. I'm a little disappointed that this weekend at AEW Full Gear, I will not be getting my hands on MJF, but fortunately my good buddy Roderick Strong will. And otherwise, it's pay-per-view week, baby. It's a really, really exciting time for AEW this week.
Yeah, so let's talk about Dynamite. Let's dive right in. You returned to AEW at WrestleDream, and on Dynamite, MJF told you that if you want to get your hands on him, you would have to win three consecutive matches. And of course, you won those first two against Buddy Matthews and Malakai Black. And you and Malakai Black have a really long history together, face each other in multiple different companies throughout the years. How important was it for you to face somebody that you're familiar with and that you can trust while coming back from such a serious injury?
Oh, yeah, it's very important. You know, of course, in the situation I was in, I wanted to be thrown into the fire fairly quickly, but stepping in there with a guy that you've faced multiple times before, like you had said, someone that you can trust, I think it's really, really important. Like in a perfect world, I can't think of three better opponents as far as having to face them for my return. So, yeah, that's incredibly important. And again, like you had mentioned, having all that history, specifically with Malakai, certainly made things interesting.
Awesome. And then, so last week on Dynamite, you faced your third opponent in a row, which was AEW International Champion Konosuke Takeshita. But unfortunately, due to some interference, I would say, from MJF's Dynamite Diamond Ring, you were defeated. Do you feel like Max cheated you out of that spot on the Full Gear card?
I feel like Max does what Max always does, and that's try at every turn to put everything in his favor. I think Max made it incredibly clear, especially after what happened this week on Dynamite, that he wants nothing to do with me. And that's fine, at least for the time being, because I know Roddy is going to smash him and get his hands on him at the pay-per-view. And I'm not done. Even though I did not win those three matches, I will in some way, shape, or form eventually get my hands on MJF. It just won't be this Saturday.
So I got to ask, though, but as MJF's former best friend, no one in AEW knows him better than you do. So are you going to give Roderick any type of advantage? Are you going to give him any information that you know?
No, I mean, I'll certainly have a discussion with Roddy because, like you had said, I do understand and know Max better than anyone, literally in the history of AEW. But as far as I by no means will be involved, I'm going to let Roddy do his thing. I know he can handle himself. Mm-hmm. But, oh, yeah, me and Roddy will definitely have some private conversations before. We actually already have.
Awesome. Do you think that any part of you would get a little jealous if Roderick managed to defeat MJF at Full Gear because you couldn't get your hands on
him? Yeah. That it's such an interesting question because I think people do think, oh, there's got to be some sort of jealousy going on right now. And jealousy is not the right word. I'm certainly envious of Roddy. Do I wish I was in that spot? Do I wish it was a three-way dance at Full Gear? Absolutely. There's nothing more in the world right now that I want to do more than getting my hands on MJF. But again, Roddy's my brother. And I know Roddy has the exact same goal that I do, and that is, once again, just destroying Maxwell Jacob Friedman. So jealous maybe isn't the right word, but certainly envious, and I'll be watching closely. To me, it's the next best thing other than actually getting my hands on MJF myself.
Interesting. So you just said that Roderick is one of your brothers, but this time last year, wouldn't you say that MJF was a brochacho of yours?
You know, the relationship with me and MJF is such an interesting one. You know, in a lot of ways, of course, there was a certain connection. And I think part of the appeal with Adam Cole and MJF being friends is that it should have never been. Hmm. It should have never worked. And I got to know Max on a personal level. And even though when we were together, he presented himself a certain way in front of the audience, I got to see the real MJF. And the real MJF is who everyone is seeing right now, the one that the majority of the time within AEW MJF has been. He's a snake. He's a manipulator. He kept me close because he felt like I was a threat. Did we have some good times? Absolutely. But there was not a second where me, in any way, shape, or form, fully trusted Max. And Max won't tell you this, but trust me when I tell you, if I would not have turned on Max, he would have done it to me. I just beat him to it. And I think there's a point in time in life where you say, am I going to lay back and take this, or am I going to do something about it? And I decided to do something about it.
So you mentioned that Adam Cole and MJF is a pairing that necessarily shouldn't have worked, but under all accounts, it did. It was one of the most over acts in all of AEW, in my opinion, my favorite era of AEW. Could you tell me a little bit about what it was like to work with MJF, someone that you necessarily weren't thrilled to work with, but managed to get over like crazy with the fans?
Oh, yeah. So, again, I could objectively look at this. MJF is one of the most talented pro wrestlers I've ever stepped into the ring with. He's incredibly entertaining. He can talk for days. He really does bring a certain specialness to AEW, and I very much recognize that. And again, I think part of the appeal of the pairing is that it just should have never happened. We certainly had chemistry. We had unbelievable chemistry together. And I look back at that first All In where it was me against MJF in the main event. And I look back at that as one of the highlights of my wrestling career. That was such a special night. So even though me and MJF are no longer friends and we don't get along, I absolutely can recognize how talented he is.
Let's talk a little bit more about All In 23. You and MJF, of course, main evented one of the biggest professional wrestling events of all time. What did it mean to you to not only be trusted with that spot, but to do it with someone who at the time was a great friend of yours?
Sure. Unbelievable. Honest to God, I look back on that night as the highlight of my career, to be able to step into the ring at Wembley Stadium. First of all, I never in a million years thought I would wrestle at Wembley Stadium, let alone main event in front of one of, if not the largest wrestling crowds ever. It was absolutely unreal. Especially too, I look back at the challenges I've faced the past 2 years and that phase in between the concussion injury and the ankle injury where I got to do that. I am so incredibly thankful for that. So stepping in there with MJF in Wembley Stadium in front of all those people, I mean, it doesn't get any better than that.
As you just mentioned, unfortunately, as this storyline was kind of reaching its peak, you and Max unfortunately both suffered some pretty serious injuries at the same time, and it put you guys in a really tough situation with you trying to lead the Undisputed Kingdom, which at the time was a brand new faction in AEW, and you kind of got put in almost a manager type of role because you were blocked from in-ring action. What was that like?
It was very challenging mentally, for sure, especially, like I said, and I don't mean to go back to the concussion too much, but again, up to that point, that was the most challenging injury that I had overcome, and I was so excited to be back in the ring. Like you had said, the run that me and MJF were on was certainly a special one, and then for that to get cut short and me to be out even longer, mentally, again, was incredibly challenging. I was relieved to, in some way, shape, be involved in the show and still be on the road and still helping with the development of the Undisputed Kingdom. That was exciting to at least get that fix of being in front of the camera and things like that. But again, without the support of like my family and my friends, I don't know how I would have done it. And I'm so thankful I'm on the other side.
Why was it so important for you and MJF to pick this feud back up?
I think the story that was told again, last year, and the story between Adam Cole and MJF was an important one in the history of AEW, and I do think it never had its closure. So I do think it's incredibly important, especially considering when I disappeared and when he disappeared, now that we're both back. I think the story deserves an ending. that we can do justice. So I think that's why it was incredibly important for us to return to the Adam Cole MJF saga.
I would totally agree with you. And when you turned on MJF, though, it seemed like you had your eye, well, you confirmed that you had your eye set on the AEW world title. Has that goal shifted at all now that the AEW title has changed hands many times?
The goal certainly has not shifted. I think in the back of my mind, again, and I think anyone in AEW who says they're not going for the world championship is kidding themselves. But of course, since I've entered AEW, I've always thought about the AEW World Championship, and that absolutely is something I want to get my hands on. However, right now my full focus is on MJF. I think it's really important, especially with a guy like MJF and with the goals that I have, to put all of my energy there. I know the Undisputed Kingdom feels the same way, but once he is taken care of, the AEW World Championship is going to be right back in my sights.
Absolutely, and let's go back to MJF. When you addressed your heel turn on Dynamite after turning on MJF at World's End, you said that Adam Cole didn't need MJF. MJF needed Adam Cole. And I think there's definitely some truth to that. You know, your tag team did introduce people to a different side of Max. It started the "he's our scumbag" chants. Do you think that MJF should really be grateful to you for introducing the AEW fans to a whole new side of him?
In a lot of ways, yes, but again, and this is just so hard for me to explain because so many people didn't see this side of him, but so much of what MJF said and did on camera in that time frame was a facade. I know that people look back on it fondly, and I like to think I did bring a more positive side out of MJF, at least in front of the camera, but trust me when I tell you that real scumbag, untrustworthy guy that you see now, was the guy or shades of what I would see outside of the ring often. So do I think I had the chance to introduce MJF as far as a hero in front of the fans? I think absolutely. But that was never really him, and it never will be him.
Interesting. So Dynamite this week is in Reading, Pennsylvania, of course, and you grew up in Pennsylvania, right, in Lancaster County?
Yes, yes.
So would you consider this a hometown show for yourself?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah. It's about 40 minutes from the house that I grew up in, which is really, really cool. Anytime I get the chance to wrestle that close to home, it's always really exciting. So, yeah, this does kind of feel like a homecoming.
Awesome. And I know that you did a lot of your training in Philadelphia, and that's where our station is located. So I was really interested in what your relationship was like with the city of Philadelphia. Do you follow any of the sports teams here?
So I don't religiously follow any of the sports teams, but I do have a very close connection with Philadelphia because, again, I started training when I was a senior in high school. And I remember every day I would get up, go to school, and then immediately from school I would drive 2 hours to South Philly, train, get the snot beat out of me, and then drive 2 hours back home, wake up, go to school, do it all over again. So, again, 4 days a week, I was in Philadelphia pretty often. I trained at the infamous ECW Arena, which was really, really cool. But, yeah, again, I had my first match in Philadelphia. I trained in Philadelphia. I used to go to all the wrestling events in Philadelphia. Very, very close connection with Philly.
And your final match in Ring of Honor was a Philly street fight, right?
It was. It was. Yep, yep. In the ECW Arena.
Full circle moment there.
Right, right.
Something that I thought was interesting about your time in AEW is the overlap between you and Bryan Danielson. You both made your AEW debut on the same night back in 2021 at All Out, and then you returned at WrestleDream this year when Danielson's full-time career was brought to an end by the now AEW World Champion Jon Moxley, and you only got to face Danielson once in your career. I'm very curious to know your thoughts on Danielson's impact, not only to you, to AEW, but to professional wrestling as a whole.
Oh my God. First of all, when I say that Bryan Danielson is universally respected by everyone in professional wrestling, I really do mean that. And I'm not saying that to exaggerate anything or it really is the truth. Bryan is so loved and respected by either the veterans or the young guys, the production crew, everybody. And obviously a lot of fans love and respect Bryan as well. When people say he's the best in-ring performer of our generation, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Bryan has helped so so many people. I mean, whether it was his time at WWE, his time at AEW, Bryan is an unbelievable talent who, even being in the ring with him one time, I learned so much from. So it's really sad to think that his full-time career is done, but the lasting impact he's made, I mean, I really do think there's an entire generation of wrestlers, especially in my generation, who have Bryan Danielson to thank for getting all these amazing opportunities. He's one of the best to ever do it.
I completely agree with you. One of the best to ever do it. Speaking of AEW World Champion Jon Moxley, he's been talking a lot about seeing changes around AEW. Something similar to that that you and the Undisputed Kingdom were saying when you guys first jumped on the scene. Are there any similarities between the Undisputed Kingdom and the Death Riders, or are these two factions completely different, looking for completely different things from AEW?
At least from my perspective, because for the most part, everyone keeps a distance from those guys, and I think everyone's still trying to figure out exactly what it is that they're going for. I think it is different mindsets or mentalities, at least right now. For the time being, again, the Undisputed Kingdom's entire mission at this moment is to make sure that MJF is dealt with. As far as what they're doing, again, creating a lot of chaos, a lot of uncertainty, both in the locker room and on the show, we've definitely kept our distance from those guys.
Completely understood. I would keep my distance from them as well.
Yeah.
So Full Gear is this Saturday in Newark, New Jersey. Other than of course, Roderick Strong versus MJF, do you have a favorite match you're looking forward to watching?
Yeah, actually, and that is the main event with Jon Moxley versus Orange Cassidy. Again, with everything that's been going on with Moxley and his crew, it's certainly shaken things up here within AEW. The last time that Orange and Jon Moxley stepped into the ring together, it was an unbelievable match. And now there is so much more on the line from two guys who are ready to fight tooth and nail and do everything to win that match. So I'm certainly going to be keeping a close eye, not just because it's for the AEW World Championship, but because I know Orange Cassidy and Jon Moxley are going to bring it on Saturday.
Absolutely. And of course, you have to keep your eye on the AEW World Championship. But as a three-time Ring of Honor World Champion, do you keep your eye on the Ring of Honor World Championship and the Ring of Honor World Champion, Chris Jericho?
Yeah, always. Again, Ring of Honor is something that's so incredibly close to my heart. I owe so much to Ring of Honor for the progression of my career, getting to travel overseas, learn so much from so many great talents. Ring of Honor is a very special and always will be a very, very special place for me. So, always got my eye on what Ring of Honor is doing and the Ring of Honor world title.
Yeah, that's got to be really cool to have that so close to home, something that was so important in your development now being part of AEW.
Absolutely. I think Ring of Honor under the AEW umbrella is certainly in ROH's best interest, because again, Tony Khan is a massive wrestling fan and a wrestling historian. He realizes how important Ring of Honor is to the history of pro wrestling, so ROH is in good hands.
Awesome. Of course, everybody can see you tomorrow night in Reading, PA for AEW Dynamite, and if they don't live in the area, of course they can watch it at 8 p.m. on TBS, and they absolutely need to grab AEW Full Gear this Saturday on pay-per-view, or grab tickets to see it in Newark, New Jersey. Thank you so much for meeting with me today, Adam. This was awesome.
Hey, thank you very much. It was my pleasure.